Jesus' name. Let's stand together if you'd like. Just bow our heads. We open the service. Heavenly Father, Lord, every opportunity we have, Father, to be able to come and to gather and under the quietness and meekness of your Spirit, Lord, it's a grand privilege. And we're so thankful, Lord, that we've had the opportunity today. And Lord, as we bow our heads and our hearts, Lord, we ask, Father, that you would bless the service. Lord, every phase that we partake in, Lord, may you get the glory and honor as we praise and worship you. Even these few songs you've laid on our hearts, Lord, that, Father, everything means something. Lord, may it clear our hearts and our minds, prepare us for what you have for us. And Lord, we pray for revelation when we hear you speak to us. Father, we may grow and draw closer to you. Father, we ask all this as we look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith. In your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise his name. Are you happy to be out this morning? Amen. You may be seated. Turn with me, if you would, in our Only Believe books. Amen. I think we'll start on page 179. Softly and tenderly. Amen. Have you heard him speak to you, call you? Hallelujah. Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals he's waiting and watching, watching for
coming for you and for me.
grace, saints. Amen. Page 206. Amen. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Pass me not, O gentle Savior.
Savior,
Course 122, but you all know just another touch, Lord, from you. Amen. Just another touch, Lord, from you. To help me in the trials I go through. Oh, something on your heart, a need, a request. Amen. Just hold it on your heart as we bow our heads. Brother Josh, would you take the request this morning?
Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we are gathered here this morning, Lord, by our precious Lord, we desire to
bless
you,
Lord. Yes,
Lord Jesus. And Lord, we know that, Lord, as time goes on, Lord, that trials of this life get harder and harder. But Lord, we know also know that if we just stay with your word, Lord, that you'll bless us. Lord, you'll help us. We didn't gather here to see.
You may be seated. Hallelujah. Does somebody have a special this morning? Amen. Praise his name. Josh, you got something? Amen. I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. He'll calm the storm, make the sun shine again. I know the master of the wind. Amen. Sing it. I know the master of the wind, Lord Jesus. I know the maker of the rain. He can calm the storm, make the sun shine again. I know the master of the wind. Amen. In every circumstance, saints. As he stood on the boat back in the little story in the Bible, peace, be still. And the storm just laid down, saints. No matter what we're going through, he's there. It's worth it all to serve him. Hallelujah. Sing it one more time. I know the master. Oh, hallelujah. I know the maker of the He can calm the storm, make the sun shine again. I know the master, oh God, hallelujah, sing it. I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. He can calm the storm, the sun shine again. I know the master of the wind. Oh, hallelujah. Let's stand together. Sing a little chorus. Only believe. If you believe in it, saints, every promise, it's yours. Hallelujah. Only believe.
Thankful to be here this morning, just praying that we'll be able to say something that'll help you and strengthen you, encourage you, and help us to press on a little greater for the Lord. Amen. As we bow our heads, precious Heavenly Father, we count it a great honor and a privilege to be here today. And Lord, I don't feel worthy to be even one, Lord, to open up the pages of your precious word. But Lord, it's fell my lot today, and we just ask, Lord, that those things that you've laid upon my heart, that I would renew our minds back to, that, Lord, some way it would help someone. Strengthen us, Lord, and draw us closer to you. The Lord, we would be a people, Lord, that would give you our all and our undivided attention in this late hour in which we're living. And Father, we commit ourselves unto thee for service and ask your blessings upon your word now. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Oh, he is so precious. Amen. While you're still standing, if you would, we'll turn over to Romans the 12th chapter, or Romans the 8th chapter, and read a verse of scripture. Amen. Just want to remember our pastor and his family in prayer. Some of them was under the weather, and a couple of the other brothers couldn't be here. One had a broke down car, and the other was traveling. So just keep everyone in your prayers, and God knows their heart, and pray God will meet their needs. Amen. Here in Romans, the 8th chapter, and if you would, we're just going to read that 28th verse down to about the 30th. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. May God add the blessing to the reading's word. You may be seated. Nowhere in that scripture will you find you had anything to do with it. It was all him. Amen. And if you pay attention to that, he foreknew and he predestinated, and he did all the work that was needed. And all, if we could but realize what we've been sent for as an individual and what God is calling us to, that each one of us would surrender our lives greater to his purpose and to surrender ourselves solely to the word of God and not to an idea or a church idea or a certain organizational idea, but truly surrender ourselves to God to let him do the work in his life, in our lives, that he predestinated to be there. And if you would, turn with me to Romans, the 12th chapter. Very familiar. We'll just put this back in our hearts as well. Romans 12, and we'll just read the first through the third verse. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And oh, how is you, in these both of these scriptures, how it's what God is doing and what he's going to do. And without that predestinated seed laying down on the inside, we would not never come to this precious word. I want you to remember what Jesus said in John 6:44. No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him first. And God sent a prophet in this age, and how that prophet expounded and expounded that you never sought God, but in due time God comes seeking you. For you were a part of him and a part of his plan. And in decreed season and the right time, he would know you where you would be. And you know, he knows everything about us this morning, as we said here. He knows our heart's desire. He knows what's in our minds. He knows what we're thinking. And you know, we each one gather here, and maybe some of us been in this message a long, long time. Maybe some of us have grew up in it. Maybe some of us are just coming around it for the first time. It don't matter where we are and where we are, as long as where we've come from, as long as we will yield ourselves unto Jesus Christ, truly to let him do the work that's needed in our life. You know, today we're living such a time of people comparing one to another. It's the American way. Say, I see somebody over here has got a nice car. I got to need the same car. And it's a life of comparisons. They have a real nice home. I need a real nice home. They're doing this thing. I need to do this certain thing. But may we not get into that rut. And you see that rut come over into churches. And you see it happen all the time. A certain sister gets a pair of shoes. The next sister's got to have the exact same shoe. You see a hairdo start and, nope, I got to have the same hairdo. We're not here to pattern after one another. Or we're not here to pattern after the things of this world. But we're to pattern after Jesus Christ and Him alone. And truly, He is the Word. And that today I pray that if nothing else, when we go away from here, it'll be branded into our hearts that I'm not to pattern after mommy and daddy. I'm not to pattern after my brother or my sister. I'm to pattern after Jesus Christ and Him alone. It's an individual walk with Jesus Christ. And God deals with individuals. He may call you and place something down in your heart that's not burning in the one sitting beside you. But you cannot let that hinder you. You must give your whole life, soul, body, and spirit to Jesus Christ and to truly let Him have the full preeminence in your life. No matter who wants to serve Him, no matter who else don't think it's necessary, if the Holy Spirit reveals it to you and you feel it on your heart, you follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and do as God directs you in all aspects of your life, and you watch God bless it and watch it come and pass. But just thinking about this a little bit, this transformed by the renewing of our mind, and if we might just renew your mind to a few things the prophet had said. So much is happening around us, but I want you to think about this as we begin to speak a little bit. And Brother Branham, when he read this in The Power of Transformation, preached October 31st, 1965, and this was paragraph 49. He had just read that scripture in Romans, the 12th chapter. And he began to talk about the earth a little bit. And I want you to think about it. He said in Genesis, the first chapter, the Spirit of the God moved upon the face of the waters. And we realize that the Bible said in the beginning back there that this world was without form and it was void. And there was nothing but just darkness of chaos. And what a horrible shape it must have been in. Nothing but the way in darkness, yonder, without light or anything, and the churning of the water, and the wandering star twisted around and around the orbits there somewhere. It must have been a terrific mass of something lost, like it was, and it couldn't find its way. And he says, and that's the way we become when we become wandering stars away from God, just without hope, without God, just churning around out in darkness, not knowing when and where we were going. And I want you to think about that. Each one of us, no matter where we have been, our lives was once in darkness. We were born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come in this world speaking lies. We needed something different. We needed God to do a work in our lives by the Holy Ghost. By a new birth, He made the difference that we stand here today with the hunger in our hearts, the desire to dress right, to live right, and to hear His precious word. But once our lives may not look like they did today, we've all come from different walks and different paths of lives. It might have been pretty dark in some of us. We might have come from an area of, oh my, people might have looked at us and said, there's no way that gentleman can ever be a Christian. There's no way God can ever work in his life. There's no way he'll ever be one of them. And you know, sometimes people, we judge situations as we see them at the current time. But God's got a plan. What if you would have looked at the Apostle Paul when he was Saul? As a human being, seeing what was going on, and without the Holy Spirit to direct your thoughts, you would have judged him unsavable. You would have judged him unredeemable and no chance to be saved. But God was looking at the end, and he knew he had to come through those steps to find the place that God had ordained him to be. And each one of us has had to walk a different path in life to come to the place to where we would recognize that we've been sent for a purpose. And God has called each one of us at the right time and the right place. But you've got to yield to Him. Paul, when that great light struck him down, he had a decision to make. And he could have went the other direction. But he chose the right way because he was predestinated to that life that was laying there. And God did not take a chance that he might have someone that would live for him today. But in his great foreknowledge, he predestinated, knowing you would make the right one choice for him. And oh, how we should be so thankful for the grace that we see in our lives. But oh, as we think about that, as we go and read down here, just think about your life and think about the grace. It's all about grace. It's not what I've done in myself. It's not in who my name is. It's not in whose ministry I come up under. It isn't what church I belong to. It isn't what name I carry or who I'm related to. God calls individuals, and He calls them from all walks of life, and He knew you before you would ever be here. He knew what you would look like. He knew what your name would be. And he predestinated you to be here for his purpose, for his glory. And you're his workmanship. And it's his grace that's working therein. And he said, and God took that great chaos of darkness and transformed it into the Garden of Eden, see, by his word. And that's how we're transformed, by God's word. When God said, let there be light, and that massive creation out there come over and around the sun, and it began to revolve around the sun, and it became a Garden of Eden because it obeyed the word of God, and that's key. When he spoke, it couldn't help but to obey what he had said. And when God's word goes forth, if you will but obey him, full obedience to the full word of God entitles you to the token. Take him at his word and follow him, and don't ever question him. And don't never let someone steal from your heart what God has said. If God said it, you let it be. Amen. So be it, no matter who comes against it, who's got something else to say about it. If you can find it in that scripture that God's prophet spoke it in this hour, let it be to me, Lord, according to thy will. Just as the Virgin Mary said, may we be open vessels yielded to him. And he said it began to revolve around the sun, and it became a Garden of Eden because it obeyed the word of God, and it done the perfect will of God, for it was transformed from chaos into a Garden of Eden by the word of God. And that's what we are here for. That's my message has been all doing all along, is the word of God. We must hold to that regardless of what other things take place. Always stay with that word. Always check your motives and objectives. If it is according to the word of God, if it isn't, leave it alone, see? But if it's with the word of God and lines up with the word of God, then you hold to that. And saints, we're living in such a time where we must make sure that we're not holding on to someone's tradition of what they feel religion is. As individuals setting before God, we're duty bound to make sure we know that what God has required is being lived out through my life. We start on a journey, and we don't become full-age Christians overnight. But we grow as calves in the stall. But as you hear that word, you must become that word. To the overcomer will I grant to sit with me on my throne. And how, as the word is coming, sometimes it comes sharp. Sometimes it comes hard, and sometimes it cuts. And it may show us where we're lacking what God said we should have. But we've got to be able to say amen to it and to let the Holy Spirit work in our hearts and in our lives. You know, we've come to a point in time where not many ministers anymore want to preach against sin. And oftentimes, sin's not ever cried out against. But God sent a prophet, and he was crying out against all of these things. And all of those things still exist today. Unbelief in God's word is what leads it and shows it standing forth. And how, as individuals, we've got to see what we've been called to, what God's prepared us for, and why he sent us where we are. In the message, The Identified Masterpiece of God, this is preached December 5th, 1964, in paragraph 138. He says, now we notice that God began to make a bride for Christ, and that bride must be identified with him and in him because it's part of him. And the bride is part of him, she is part of him. And the word for that day, the bride becomes part of that word, for it's Christ. And you believe that. We have to be in Christ. We have to be in Christ, part of Christ. What is a woman when she takes a man, or a man takes a woman? That woman has to be part of him, and they're no longer two, they're one. And when God and Christ became one, they were one because God was the Word, and the Word was made flesh, and the flesh and the Word became one. And when the church becomes Christ's bride, and she and the Gospels are the same. How can you say then the days of miracles is past? How can you say that he's not the same yesterday, today, and forever? How can you say those things as for an apostle or a disciple or somebody in another day when you're part of him? When he said, heavens and earth will pass away, but my word shall never fail. How about Revelations 22? When he got through writing the book, he said, I testify that if any man shall add one word or take one word out of it, his part will be taken from the book of life. And how are we going to come to heaven and say, well, I believe this, but I don't believe that? You've got to believe the full word, for you are part of him. And that's how God is trying to make his church today. Not by a creed, but they're trying to force us into that. And how it's truly, we've come to a place to where people have accepted patterns, as I said. We see it throughout the message churches. The prophet came preaching modesty for women, men to be men, families to be families, husbands to be over their homes. And we see all of this word lined up, and you could go back through and read it all, but I pray that each one of us has read enough to be able to see the pattern that's been laid out by God in His precious word. But we see churches rise up and men rise up in themselves and begin to take away, this is okay and that's okay, you can do that, you can do this. And that's where many have fallen short, as they relied on someone else telling them they had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They relied on somebody else telling them they were well filled with the Spirit, instead of going to God's Word and finding their own identification on the pages of God's Word and realizing that that predestination has taken a place in their life. And there is a true drawing on the inside that's drawing them not to just be a church member, not just back to a religion, but back to Jesus Christ, to where He would have the full preeminence in their life. And you know, it causes such a hunger. And sometimes, you know, that's the piece that we fail to realize. That hunger that's in us and burning was predestinated by God and placed there. The very desire you have, the hunger that's in you, that pull, that thirst. Brother Branham in A Deep Calleth to the Deep, many of us, you've read this, but this is August 9th, 1952. But just listen as Brother Branham explained this one more time. He said, you know, when the deep calls to the deep, there has to be a deep to respond to it. You believe that, don't you? David said, when the deep calleth to the deep, in other words, like this, before something can be here calling out for something, there has to be something out there, this here in here, to be calling to. Is that plain enough? See, in other words, I've made a statement like this. Before there was a fin on a fish's back, there had to be water first for him to swim in, or he wouldn't have had a fin. If he'd have never had a fin, if there was no water. But before there was a tree to grow on the earth, there had to be an earth first, or there'd have been no tree grow on it. Is that right? And he tells this little story. He said, I read in the newspapers some time ago where a little baby eat the pedals off of a bicycle and eat the rubber erasers off of pencils. And they'd taken him and had him examined and said, don't know. They checked this little body, and the doctor said, why, it's sulfur. His little body is craving. And sulfur's in rubber. And so that's the reason he was eating rubber, because his little body was craving sulfur. Now hold that point. If the body is craving sulfur, there's sulfur somewhere to respond to that crave. Is that right? Now watch. How many of you believe that there is a God of healing? That's the evidence there to prove that there's a fountain open somewhere. Before there can be a creation in here, there had to be a creator to create that creation. Is that right? How many of you would like to have more of God? Let's see your hand. Well, there's more of God for you to get. And this morning, I can hold my hand up and say, I want more of God. So I know there's more there for me to get. And so that's the important piece, is if there's a hunger, there's a thirst, there's a longing to reach out, there is a feeling that's laying there for you. And it don't matter what you've been through, where you've come from, maybe what you've done in your life. If God is calling to you, respond to that call and follow Him as far as He'll take you. And it doesn't matter. Being born and raised in church does not save you. It doesn't make you a Christian. It doesn't do anything for you other than to get you in the right atmosphere to where God can work with you. But it takes an individual personal affair with you and Jesus Christ. And each and every one of us has to come to that realization. Amen. You know, and that's the piece today, that people have lost the sight of what a Christian is. And to be a Christian, Brother Branham said, was to be Christ-like. And our actions and everything about us responding to Jesus Christ and being exactly what He would say. In the message identification, Brother Branham said this, January 23rd, 1963, paragraph 40, Jesus gave us an example of what we ought to be looking at when He reflected His life to us through the Word and what we should see. And when we look in God's mirror, we should see ourselves identify with Him. That's a perfect example. And we find out that as we go through life, that our character molds the image that we are. Each one knows that. And you, as you live, so is your character. It molds you what you are. And you have seen people that you just love to be around, yet they might not exactly be in your bracket of society. And again, they might be of a different race, the collared or the brown or the yellow, but there's just something about that character that you just love to be in their presence. Because each person is a little dynamo of their own, you see, and you put out an atmosphere. And then you see people that were noble people, but yet you were always glad to get away from them. It's just they create such an atmosphere around where you are. Nothing against them. They're nice people. But you just don't like the atmosphere they're in, and their character creates whatever they are and makes them what they are. And I want you to think about that. You know, you can see people dress so, ever so holy. They might put on a dress and let their hair grow just like the Bible says. They might do all of the fine works that's said to be done. They might pay their tithes and give their offering, but they just wouldn't surrender their full life to Jesus Christ and let Him have the full preeminence of their life. And somewhere that character is going to pop out. It's going to prove out who's on the control tower of their heart. It will show forward to everyone because you can't hide it. And that's the piece that we must be careful of. Don't just polish up the outside, but polish up the inside, and the inside will polish up the outside. It's a life that's lived from the inside out. And it will definitely bring character. So you want to be a Christian, you want God to have the full preeminence in your life, you go to God in prayer and seek the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Repent of your sins and take and follow the prescription that was given. And you watch God come on the seat and control of your heart and take over the scene. But if you don't go that way, it's easy to come and just listen. Well, brother so-and-so said it's this way. I'm going to do it like that. I'm going to wear my dress just so-so. I'm going to let my hair grow just so-so. That's all good. Obedience is good. But it's still got to come from a change down on the inside. And if that isn't changed, it don't matter how much you can do on the outward side. God looks at the heart. That's what He's judging. Don't ever forget that. And may we truly be lining ourselves up with the Word. It's easy to say, my outward looks good. I look really good to people. But what do I look like to God? He judges my mind, my thoughts, and my heart. He knows all about us, saints. And He's ever watching. Well, let's read something here in the Scriptures. Let's Matthew the 7th chapter, I believe it is. In Matthew 7, and listen as Jesus said this, I'm just going to back up just to catch the top. Matthew 7, let's go to the 15th verse, and just to put this, let's just drop over to, let's go to the 13th. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. But now listen as Jesus begins to speak about this, but He's talking about every individual. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. And every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And that word iniquity, it means, the worker of iniquity means knowing to do good, and doeth it not. And how we should consider our own selves individually before God, each one of us. We have to weigh ourselves in God's precious word. You know, it's so easy to think I'm such a devout Christian and I'm standing for God just perfectly as can be. But The Bible tells us what manner of people we ought to be in all holy conversation, making sure that every word that comes from my mouth is edifying and not in any way contrary to God's word. It also tells us, as we often hear it, how sisters, how we should dress and conduct ourselves in modesty and in a way that a man wouldn't look at us and lust after us. It tells us all of these things, and those are just two examples. The Bible is full of them, and we're responsible for every word of God. There's no big word, little word. Every word is important. And how, as we see that, that importance ought to be boiling up in our lives so great that we would be so careful of every word we speak, everything we look at, everything we listen to. This world is all around us. And Satan, as our pastor was mentioning last Sunday about being desensitizing the people, Satan has taken television and he's taken all of these devices that we mentioned and he's brought it all around us until it gets common to we hear someone using curse words. It's common to us to hear slang. It's common to us to see makeup on people's faces. It's common to see earrings in our ears. It's common. It's just a little earring. It's just a little that. It's just a little this. No, God's word's cut and dried. And to the Christian, to a true believer, that becomes a magnified thing. Every word is big, not a little word. Well, I could do better. No, today is the day of salvation. It's hearken unto the voice, repent. Jesus said in Revelations, I chasten and rebuke those that I love. Be zealous and therefore and repent and turn away. Become an overcomer and don't let those things be named one more against you. Look at this Bible and look at the examples that's been left for us. Of each one that came to Jesus, the little lady, the little adulteress, look how filthy her life was, but she went away changed. And he said, go and do it no more. Look at the lives that was changed each time they come in contact with God's precious word. They didn't go away the same person. And that's the way it is for us. Each time we come in, we hear the word and we become the word. By the renewing of our minds, we're being transformed to match God's character. And Satan is out here giving all he can with these devices and all that he's got in the world today. He's just trying he can to pull your attention away from what God's called you to be and trying to deform you and to push you out here to where your life is no more a Christian or Christ-like than anything. And Christ-like is all like Christ was. Long-suffering, peace, gentleness, meekness, temperance, patience, love, long-suffering, love one to another. As Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. And he loved us enough that he gave his life for us. Paid the price for us. What greater love we ought to have one to another. When we see a brother's down, we see a sister has a need or a brother has a need, how it ought to be in our heart to pray and to cry out for that brother. But in this day and age, it's a self-righteous attitude. And it gets to the point to where, they're just wrong. But what about a true in your mind? God's got ministry that has to come and has to cry out against sin. And they have to point out the wrong. And they're going to point out the error that's in the scriptures. But as individuals before God, we should be crying out and praying for those people. Praying for those that may be trapped in a situation. Trapped in something that's got them bound. Not just, well, we know where they stand. As individuals before God, we don't know what God has for each and every one. But God's word is truth. And it's not, none of it's been put there for an unnecessary reason. But how do we view it? It's easy to take the word and say, well, I believe I'm doing everything just right, and now I've got it all, and that's it. I'm going to stand right here. But what if God wanted to send you, as Brother Smith was talking about Jonah? You think Jonah wanted to go down there? Jonah knew he was right. He was sitting over there, had it all made, doing okay. But no, God said, I want you to go down here, and that's where you're going to go. That wasn't Jonah's choice. He didn't want to be there, but God sent him, and he didn't have a choice but to go. And God used it for his glory and honor. And how it's not about going on our own personal feelings or how I feel about a subject or what I feel about a person, but it's what the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding each one of us to do by an individual relationship. Truly leaning and being led by the Spirit and then watch God bring the whatever it happens, watch it work to his glory. Many people say God led them to do something. You don't see the results of it. You don't see it come to pass, but you watch. If God's in it, you will watch it bring back glory to his name. In some way. But as their fruits, Jesus was saying, by their fruits we would know them. And how that's true. We're not left with a question. We can look and truly watch and monitor a life and see what's being done, what's being said, what's being lived. and know? Where's your desires at? You know, Satan has come along in this age and he's offered all kinds of things. And you can find ministers all day long that'll tell you it's okay to be at the football game on Sunday down in wherever you want to go. You can go to the soccer game wherever you want to be. But the prophet of this hour said, as the world goes to those events, do you think I want to be numbered with the world? No, I'm to be transformed and not to be conformed to this world. But people have lost the advance of what God has said, the meaning of what he's trying to push out, that a life would be changed. So we make excuses for the things of the world that we want to hold on to. And we say, oh, it's okay, I can keep that because it's not wrong. But we don't look at the spirit behind it. Look at what's controlling it in every aspect. That's just a couple things. But we can place that into everything and every avenue of God's precious word. It's laying there. But we don't take the time. If the pastor or the preacher don't get up and say something against it, then it must be okay. But it should be in our hearts burning as individuals before God, crying out and looking into his precious word, knowing that I'm responsible as an individual before God for that life to be made manifest in my body. For people to be able to see that I am a Christian. I'm not just following my church and doing it just because my church doesn't do that. I won't do it. But there's something burning down on the inside that though it may make me different, I might be the only one that don't go. Maybe a group of friends are going to go somewhere and do something. But the Lord's telling me, oh, I just don't think I would be involved with that. You've got to sometimes be the one that has to stand up and say, that's not for me, brother. I appreciate it. You all have a good time. But I can't go and partake of that. God knows your heart, saints, and he called individuals to stand for him in this day. And may we truly stand with all that's in us to be exactly what he wants us to be. Hey, man. This was in The Prisoner, preached July 17th, 1963. He says, just as I expressed, if your life will prove exactly what side you're on. I don't care what side you say you're on. What you do every day proves what you are. You've heard the old saying, your life is so loud, I can't hear your testimony. Your actions is so loud. I've always believed in shouting and jumping, but I've always said, don't jump no higher than you live, because the world is going to watch that, see? And you must jump as high as you live, so because somebody is watching you. And people won't come to church, many of them just won't do it. Some of them not coming as sincere people, but they've seen so much corruption in the church until they don't want to have anything to do with it. And many times they're speaking on a flat thought of that. You can hardly blame them, see? Because of the way people act. They call themselves Christians. They're the greatest stumbling block this world has got. Is the man and woman who professes to be Christians and lives something different from their profession. That's exactly right. And I want you to think about that. We've seen it manifested. I had many friends that grew up in this message. And they can truly look back at their parents who claim to be filled with the Holy Ghost, claim to be Christians in this hour, and because of their life and the way they lived, turned them from this message. It turned them from the Word of God because they couldn't live what they professed they had. Because why? They were trying to live it in themselves. They didn't get down on their knees and ask God to come in and take control and to live it out through them. And you and I can't live this in ourselves. It's not a life you can live yourself, but it takes Jesus Christ and him only on the control tower of your heart to bring your life subject to every word of Jesus Christ. But we see it today. Churches have went away to where the way the dressing is promoted, split skirts are promoted, mini skirts are promoted. All kinds of things are being promoted. That's churches promoting that. That's not God promoting that. And how we ought to see that and come back. There's got to be a cry in an individual's heart. Not a church, but a people's heart to live by every word of Jesus Christ. It's in their heart to be an example that when people look at them, they see there's Christ living in that person. When they see you walking down the street or they get to come into your presence, they feel that comforting spirit off of you. They feel the warmth and the welcome that, oh, there's just something there. There's an atmosphere. Is it you personally? No, it's the Holy Spirit. He's timid and he's humble and he's mild. And oh, they just want to get around that. But may that's got to be oozing from each and every one of our lives. Every action, every moment of every day, our lives must declare him, is what the prophet said in Christ is the mystery of God revealed. As he goes on here, he says, now for the disappointments will be coming at judgment. The sinner, the bootlegger, the gambler, and the adulteress, he won't be disappointed to hear his sentence read. depart into everlasting fire, he won't be disappointed. But the fellow who is trying to hide himself behind some kind of a church profession, that boy is going to be disappointed at the day of judgment. That professes to be a Christian, lives some other way. It'd be better for him that he never did even make any kind of profession started off than to start and live something different. Because he's the greatest stumbling block we've got is for the professor that says he is a Christian and lives something different. Always don't judge your life by how much power you have to perform miracles. And we don't judge ourselves by how much knowledge you have of the word. But always judge yourself looking back and taking inventory of what kind of fruit that life you presently live is now bearing. And that's where we want to find our judgment and measure up. And you know, to put that with it, I'll read this. This was when you think about what, look where you've been. And that's always a good measurement. God started calling. Do you see growth? Or do you just say, oh, I started going to church, but nothing else changed. I still want to do this. I still want to go there. I still want this in my life. I want to have all these worldly pleasures. I want to do these things. What kind of, look at what all the people in the past, in the book of Acts, when they came to follow Jesus, look at all they had to give up. Look at the sacrifices that was in their life. And today, many people, they come to church and they don't want to give up anything that they had before. They just want to come to church. They want to keep the worldly music. They want to keep their filthy thoughts and filthy activities and things that go on out here. They want to keep that peace. They don't want no suffering. They don't want no pain or to have to do something. They don't want to be an oddball to the people they work with. They don't want to be different and have people look at them and go, I can't believe you'd do that. God's called us to be oddballs. God's called us to be different. He called us to be Christians and to stand out. You think we're going to look like everyone else? Yeah, we might. We're human. We're going to wear the same clothes they wear. But you're going to see a life lived from this scripture. You're going to see people that are truly different with a sweetness and a holiness about them. Their clothes, yes, that goes with it. The dressing will be there. The modesty, the brothers, husbands, families loving one another, a group together, brothers and sisters in the church loving one another, not backbiting, trying to stab and tear each other down, can't get along. No, that won't once be named among them. Not amongst a true Christian, because their life has been taken over and being governed by the Holy Spirit. And oh, we've got so much to measure up. You say, I've been in church 40 years. I don't care if you've been here 100 years. If your life's contrary to one scripture, one quote that's been left for us to live by to be that bride of Jesus Christ, you're wrong. And it don't matter what your name is, where you was born, or who you are. You've got to come God's provided way right down the line, each and every one of us. And God will see to it that when you come His way, you will know what grace means. When you sing Amazing Grace, you'll know that it's only by His grace that He's brought you to the place you're standing today. And that only. This is what Brother Branham said this in the message, Perfect Faith, preached August 25th, 1963, paragraph 132. When we were sinners, alienated without God in the world and in the muck of mud, as I talked about this morning, God come to us. God sought you. You never sought God. No man can come to me except the Father draws in first. And God came down in that muck and what you were and sought you out and brought you out. And that ought to create a perfect love. Look what you was. Look what you are. What did that? Somebody that loves you. Can't you have faith in what He's promised you? Real, genuine love will create confidence in His word. He caught me when I was nothing. And I'm still nothing, but I'm in His hands, see? He caught me, and He loved me when I was unlovable. He loved you when you was unlovable, but He changed you, just like the little collared sister said that time in her testimony. She said, I'm not what I ought to be, and I'm not what I want to be, and then I know I'm not what I used to be. She knowed she had come somewhere, and something had happened, and that's the way it is. If God, when I was an alien from Him, so loved me till He stooped down and got to get me and pick me up, then that gives me confidence that He wants to use me. He's got a purpose in doing it. He's seen something in me. He's seen something in you. He had a reason to save you. Look at the people that's unsaved today. Look at the millions He could have took beside you, but He took you. Amen. And no one can take your place. Amen. You're in God's economy, and no one can do it. That is His love to you. And I want you to think about that. If there is a desire pulling in your heart, if there is a longing to see more of God in your life, that is something you can't do in yourself. But by His mercy and grace, He's dipped that in there. And how we ought to feed it with all that's in us, with prayer and crying out to God that He would truly take my life in His hands and bring me to the place that He wants me to be. Oh, it ought to create, Brother Bram says, then won't your love reach right back to Him? And there's a love affair. No matter what the situation is, the circumstance is governed by this love that creates faith, and that God loves you and you love God and you love one another, and that brings faith, all right? And it can't keep from bringing out just exactly what God promised it would do. And amen, God's word is a seed that the sower went forth to sow. And in Genesis, He said every seed will bring forth of its kind. And you can't help it when God places that life in there, when He says it's time, that life will come forth. You can look at the trees. You can look at the flowers. You can look at everything around us, the blade of grass. It's done exactly as God's word said it would do, and it's brought forth after its kind. And that life will be reproduced in a body of believers, of Christians, true Christians. This word hid in their heart will bring their body under subjection to every word of Jesus Christ and truly manifest forth a life that you can't live yourself. But He comes in and lives for you. Amen. I was thinking on this, as I was thinking about this, and how we come to this, and we've each one growing, and we're still growing. I'm still growing. I know there's higher heights in God for me. And I'm reaching for those places of what He wants for me in my life. And I know each one of us should feel the same way. But I was thinking on this, and I thought I would read it. And this was in the message, How Can I Overcome? And Brother Branham was expressing about the little lily. And just listen to this as we get close here. He says, paragraph 91, notice each church age, the same overcome. When each son out of each age overcome the temptation of that age, I've got scriptures here. I don't think we really have time. He says, see, as I said at the beginning, you are born defeated. And that birth can never bring you to life because you're born defeated. And you're in a defeated world, amongst defeated people, amongst defeated creeds and defeated denominations. But you've got to come to victory some way. And he says, it's just like a lily. And I think a lily is one of the most prettiest flowers that there is. And I'm very fond of those great, I think you say it, calla lilies and pond lily. I think there's nothing hardly as pretty as a great big pond lily. Call it a water lily. How it's radiance. And where does it come from? It's a little seed. Down in the bottom of a muddy, mucky pond. And that little seed, yet all the radiance that'll ever shine in it, is in it right then when it's in that mud. But it has to strive daily knowing that there is something. It's black, it's dirty, it's mucky, it's slimy in the slime that it's living in. Yet it presses its way through the mud and the muck and the waters and the stagnant places until it sticks its head above into the light and expresses what's been hid in it all the time. And I think that's an overcomer, that once in sin, once did things that was wrong, don't worry about it now. Once did things that was wrong, then now why look back into the pond again, see? God, by His predestination, has brought this seed to life, and it's pressing itself. See it coming to light? And on top of all of that, it has overcome. See, it doesn't express itself down there. It's getting up to express itself. And neither did you in your sin and adultery and everything that you lived in. You didn't express nothing. But there was a seed in there, and it got a chance to press itself into light, and now you're in the presence of Jesus Christ with the sunlight. It brought out what you really was in the beginning. You see what I mean? You saw the light. You bloomed out. You laid your heart open, and now you're a lily. And you remember my sermon on the lily, Reverend Lily, how he toils, yet does he not spin, and yet Solomon, all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Look at him. He is ready to give. He takes nothing for himself. The lily don't care nothing about himself. What does he do? He throws his beauty out, his life, that others might see. His life is expressed out that others might see the glory of what's in him. And that was in him, that was in him in that mud. But now he's on top, and that's the overcomer. He overcome the mud, he overcome the things of the world. And now he freely gives himself out. And everybody can look at him, his life, you can't put a finger on it. He's a real overcomer. You say nothing about him now, say he come out of the mud. But he's not in the mud now. He's on top of it. Amen. You can't then point back to what he was. What is he now? He's on top. And that's what Jesus Christ has done for each and every one of us that's been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And maybe we started on a journey. Maybe you're just starting on a journey. It doesn't matter. But that seed that was down in that little lily, all the way down there in the mud, it never stopped pushing and it never stopped reaching for the top to where it could open up. And if you'll notice, he didn't open up for his own glory, but he was expressing the glory that was within him. And that, where did that glory come from? Where did it come from in us? It's Jesus Christ. Him being expressed, it's his light. It's his glory that'll shine forth from your life. And who gets the glory for it? He does. For it's nothing that we've done. It's not by works, but by grace, lest any man should boast. But we are his workmanship. And all may we truly yield ourselves unto him in a way we never have. We may have been in church our whole life. We may think we know a lot of what the prophet said. We might think we understand many things. But unless our life is not living forth fruit every day, not just at church. It's easy to put a suit on or a nice dress and comb your hair and come to church and sit here and be nice to everyone. That's really easy to do. But what about them days on the job? Somebody just won't get off your neck and they're just pushing and they're pushing and they're pushing, calling you all manner of things. Do we flare up and blow up and just have a heyday back at them? Or do they see Jesus Christ expressed? What about sisters when we're in town and whatever we're facing? There's many things. Could be we get the wrong change at the grocery store, or maybe we get shorted, or something happened, or somebody said something to one of my children that I didn't like. What's my response? What's my reaction? God is looking. People are looking. It's easy to say you're a Christian. It's easy to dress up and put your nice clothes on and go to town, and it's easy to pack that Bible. But oh, how much of that life is packed inside of us, showing forth, not just, but we would be written testimonies, written of all men. Oh, saints, I pray that I can stir your heart to don't pattern after any one person. Don't pattern after any certain church. Brother Branham didn't say pattern after the Branham Tabernacle. He said pattern after Jesus Christ. That's the pattern for today. The life of the Word that's laying before us has got to be expressed in each and every one of us. And not everyone will see it. Oh, not everybody that goes to church is saved. Not everybody that's sitting in this congregation this morning may make it to heaven. I don't know. Only God does. That's not for me to say. But each one of us will give an account before God for the word that we've heard that must be made manifest and lived through our lives. And may we truly yield ourselves unto him and let him have the full preeminence of everything that we do and say. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. You know, it's a lot said in such a short period of time. But I pray it'll cause you to think, maybe go back and read some of these messages. And you know, there's just so many things you could preach on and so many areas to go. But saints, we're coming to a time where it's checking up time. The word is laying there and we're each one responsible for what God has said there would be. And each one of us has got to shine up and measure up with a life. Not because my daddy said I got a good life, my mommy says I do a good job, they think I'm this. No. It can only come from the word of God made manifest, showing forth that my testimony is not just with my mouth, but by his grace, I see the life that he placed down on the inside, expressing and taking over this body. That every action would declare Jesus Christ, and that he is the only one that can do that. And oh, may we yield ourselves unto him and cry out greater, Lord, I want more of you and more less of me in my life. Amen. Let's all stand if you would. I wonder if we couldn't just sing that little chorus, to be like Jesus. Amen. To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. On earth I long. To like him all through life's journey, earth to glory, I only ask to be like him. that's our heart's desire, saints, is to be like him. Amen, as we bow our heads. Precious Lord, we just are so grateful. Lord, that you've taken the time to be here with us this afternoon. Lord, we appreciate the moving of your Holy Spirit and to fill it. And to know, Lord, that you said where two or three will gather in my name, I will be there in the midst. And Lord, you are here. And Father, you are looking down right now on each and every heart. And Lord, you know even our thoughts towards the things we've brought this morning. Lord, we can sit here like an old goose or an old and just rear up and just think that, oh, he's wet behind the ears. He don't know what he's talking about. And I know that I got this and I got that. But Lord, may we truly sit here with a humble attitude and say, Lord, I need you greater. It don't matter how long I've been in this message. It don't matter how long I've been serving you. Lord, there's always higher heights to reach. And Lord, until that day you take us home, we'll continue to grow. And even then, Lord, you said you would reveal yourself throughout eternity. So Lord, let me be open unto you. And Father, we pray that you'll take these precious words, Lord, and may we weigh up our lives. Lord, may we truly monitor what you're doing for us and where you've brought us from. But Lord, don't be satisfied till we know we've reached that height that you've called us to. And Lord, it's just the way you did it, Father. The old cow, Lord, as you said, we grow as calves in the stall. That old cow never stops eating. It never stops partaking, Lord, of the grain and the hay that's needed for its nutrients for its body until it leaves this earth. And Lord, that's the way it is with us. Till you call us home, may we truly continue to partake of the nutrients that's laying in this precious word. And day by day, Lord, we will become more like you with every word that we hear and every revelation that you reveal. Lord, you reveal yourself greater, and the more will be just like you. And Father, that others may see what you can do in my life, what you've done in someone else's life, Lord, and lead them to that place of where they can truly find happiness and peace, Lord, a rest, and a confidence knowing that no matter what comes tomorrow, we know who holds tomorrow, Lord. And Father, we just commit ourselves into your hands, Lord. We pray you'll bless those that couldn't be here today, Lord, whether they be sick or afflicted. Lord, we just pray you'll meet the needs for those that had financial needs, Lord, or physical needs. And Lord, if you should tarry, bring us back at the next appointed time. If you should tarry, may we come hungry asking you to feed us. And Lord, may we never fail to give you thanks, Lord, for what you do for us. And we ask it all in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. On earth I long. To be like him through life's journey from earth to glory, I only ask to be. May God richly bless you. You're dismissed.